Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. This is Carolyn Yeager bringing you the Revisionist Report. I'm not coming to you from my home studio again, so we are again perhaps not going to have optimum quality on Skype, but I'm going to try to speak very clearly. I thought yesterday's show was all right, although at times it kind of faded out. But that's probably really my fault. I'm very pleased to have Manfred Kleine Hartlager from Berlin, Germany, as my guest today once again. I should add that he isn't able to come back anymore this week, so if you have a burning question for him, you'll need to ask it today. The call-in number is 1-800-313-9443. Let me repeat that he has an English language blog at www.german-views.de with some lively comment sections. You might want to join in there in some capacity. Today, we're going, though, to delve more deeply into Manfred's book, the title of which is The Jihad System, How Islam Works. That's the title in English, and I have to remind you again, the book is only published in German at this time. So let's hope that Manfred is with me now. You're not calling him on his, don't call him on his phone, call him on Skype. They're not, they didn't get, you know, we don't get hold of people soon enough, and so we wait kind of until the last minute. All right, but he's here because I've talked to him, and we'll have him in just a minute. So if you would like to, let's see, what can I say about his book? I hate to have to talk about it myself. I'd like to let him talk about it, but I will say that in the review that he has written of the book, which is such a long URL that I don't even want to give it on air. So if you would just blog, let's see what's going on here. Okay, he's here now. Hello, Manfred.
Hello, Carolyn.
Hi. Sorry. I know that you were ready this morning, and but that's okay. Now here you are. All right. I don't know if you heard what I said. I was just going to ask you. I was telling the listeners that we're going to talk about your book. And so now that you've said hello, and I've described you again, so everyone knows who you are. So if you would, if you would like, in the couple minutes that we have left in this segment, or 1 minute maybe, to make some opening remarks, you're welcome to do so. Otherwise, I was just going to start with the contradiction inherent in Islam, or in our view of Islam that you bring up in the first chapter.
Well, yes, I can tell you at once. The problem is that many Westerners believe that anyone in the world is thinking like himself. That's to say, from a European point of view, like a green voting liberal. So they believe anyone is for multiculturalism, or anyone is for tolerance, or anyone is for nonviolence. And what they have to perceive is that this is not the case. And as this prejudice, will you say something? No. As this prejudice hampers people from seeing Islam like it is, this was what I had first to reveal in my book. And to make clear, just to make my readers sensitive and self-critical on their own view.
All right. Good. That's a good start. Well, we'll be back and continue in 3 minutes.
Do you need help getting your child to behave? I'm behavioral therapist James Lehman, and I'm willing to give away thousands of my best-selling total transformation programs for free. All you do is tell us how the program works for you and your family. Did it turn around your child's behavior? Did the screaming and arguing stop in your home? Is he doing better in school? The total transformation has helped hundreds of thousands of families. I want to see what it can do for you, and I'm willing to let you have it for free. Just order my program, use it with your child, then send me your feedback. I'll refund the purchase price of the program. You keep the Total Transformation Program forever, for free. You don't have to struggle with your child's bad behavior one more day, because now you can try my Total Transformation, and the program will be free.
Limited number of free programs available. Call now. 1-800-583-1093. 1-800-583-1093. That's 1-800-583-1093.
Introducing IXL Anti-Friction Metal Conditioner. IXL works at the molecular level to reduce friction by penetrating into and bonding onto the microscopic openings of the walls of ferrous base metals. The surfaces become smoother and denser, and this reduces the heat, friction, metal expansion, and wear caused by moving metal surfaces. The benefits are reduced maintenance activities and cost, increased fuel efficiency, and prolonged equipment life. It will not clog filters, pipes, injectors, or supply lines, does not build up or accumulate upon itself as do many other additives. IXL does not contain moly, PTFE, or graphites. Also offers the tremendous benefits of being non-toxic. It's used for a friction reducer and performance enhancer in gas or diesel engines, transmissions, automatic or standard gearboxes, turbos, electric motors, outdrives, lathe, and cutting applications. Go to republicbroadcasting.org, then to our online store, or call us at 800-724-2719. That's 800-724-2719.
What really gets in the way of your goals and dreams? Time? Money? Education? Well, if it's all of the above, Ashworth College is for you. Ashworth can help you achieve your goals by letting you study at your own pace, online, anywhere, anytime. Your computer is your classroom. With programs as low as $39 a month, Ashworth College is one of the most affordable online schools out there. Just $39 a month. Plus, Ashworth offers over 100 nationally accredited college programs, such as criminal justice, healthcare, technology, and business. You could earn as much as $300,000 more than those without an associate's degree. No high school diploma? Well, Ashworth even offers high school completion programs. So call an Ashworth Career Advisor right now, toll free at 1-866-504-8173. That's 1-866-504-8173. Or go to ashworthtraining.com.
I'm Carolyn Yeager with the Revisionist Report, and my guest today is Manfred Kleine Hartlager from Germany, and we are talking about his book, The Jihad System. And the best way for me to direct you to where you can read his review of the book in English is to go to the blog, which I've given you the URL for several times, at German Views. And the first blog on there is now says, "On Monday I'm on air." And there you have a live link to the Jihad System. You can click on there, and that will take you to the correct place. All right, so Manfred, you were telling us about this contradiction that's inherent when we, in our Christian Western culture, look at Islam and the difficulty that we have in understanding it. So why don't you kind of recap that just a little bit and then continue?
Yes, the problem is that we used to use a terminology that is based on, or that is, was originally aiming at describing our own society, that's to say a modern Western society where religion and politics are separated from each other, and politics and science and religion and economy and so on. It is not consequent to this to use this terminology to describe a non-Western society like the Islamic, because from the view of Islam itself, Islam is a comprehensive order for the whole life. That means not only for religion as we understand it, but also for law, for politics, for the economy, and so on. It is, if you want, a totalitarian system, because it does not know this separation. And as many Europeans believe, anyone on the planet must be like themselves. They are not able to describe Islam in a way that is adequate to Islam itself. So they misunderstand things that Islam says. They the second thing is they believe, or were made to believe that any religion, all religions want the same thing. Well, if this would be the case, if this were the, there wouldn't be more than one religion, but just one. And Islam is based on assumptions different from Christianity. For example, Christianity condemns violence as such, which means and implies Christians who want to be live in a good and decent way have to rely on the existence of an order, of a state that guarantees the internal peace. And that's the reason why St. Paul, for example, told them to be loyal to the state, to the Roman Empire. Islam is completely different. Islam takes what it finds, for example, violence, because war was something that was always, well, that always existed. Slavery, for the contemporaries of Muhammad, was something that always existed, and so on. And so violence is not condemned completely in a fundamental moral sense, but it is something that is to be the basis of society. So Islam is a legal system that rules who can exercise violence against whom, and by this way provides a social order. It does work. It is not that I say it wouldn't work. It works. It gives an order, but it's an order completely different from what we think should be a good order.
Okay. You know, some people would say, let's talk about violence. Let's talk about the violence that you say is in Islam and certainly in jihad. Explain jihad. How about let's start with that. What does jihad mean, and why is that play such a main? Why is that so strongly featured in Islam?
Yes. I should start with what is what jihad is not. It's not simply holy war, as many people would translate it. Jihad is not the Arabic word for terrorism. To tell this at once. Jihad means anything a Muslim does to promote Islam, to spread Islam, and to deepen his own faith. Anything a Muslim does in the way of Allah, as they say, is jihad. But the focus of the Quran, and especially the more political parts of the Quran of Medina, the focus is on the violent and military spreading of Islam, confirmed by what the Prophet did himself. You must know that Muhammad is, for Muslims, the example of a complete of a man that is holy. And you have to know that this holy man did not only wage 27 war and robbery campaigns. War and robbery were at that time almost the same thing, but also enslaved people and massacred people and sent engaged killers to get rid of his critics and so on. So there is certain focus in Islam on jihad in the meaning that Islam should be spread by violence, but it is more difficult than that. Jihad means also, in a broader sense, that any means that is used to push other non-Muslims aside or to suppress them, reject them, and dissolve them. It is not only just the campaign. The classical way to spread Islam was that they conquered political power by conquering the countries of other communities, faith, and then established their political rule. And they forced upon the inhabitants of these countries an agreement called the Dima, which was an agreement of text that say the Christians or Jews had to pay for just their life, to keep their lives. They had to pay not to be enslaved. They had to pay to keep their property, and they were discriminated systematically and economically squeezed out. This resulted in a long process. In some countries, it took 30 or 40 years. In other countries, it took 300 or 400 years. But in the long run, it resulted in Islam being almost the only religion in these countries.
Okay, right. That's absolutely true in the history. Well, what about, I think at the break, Manfred, we're going to switch to your telephone because your voice is a little choppy, and it's because of the Skype connection.
Okay.
But I can hear you all right, but I think at that time, which is in about, we've got 3 minutes though. So let me say this. What about those who would say that when we talk about Muslims as terrorists and Islam as a rather violent religion and thought process, what about the white man or European man or Westerner who is can be considered the terrorist today and may has been a terrorist also throughout, so they say, you know, throughout the ages? What about our terrorism now via military aggression and bombing against them, killing civilians, including women and children, destroying their homes? How do you answer that? Because that is certainly going to be, must have been brought up to you before I've done it here.
You mean the military interventions in Islamic countries, yeah?
Yes.
Yeah. Yes. It is true that there is not only terrorism against the West by Islamists, but also aggressions of the West against the Islam. That's what I said yesterday. This globalist paradigm means that not only the West is to be Islamized, but also the Islamic world is to be Westernized. And when I say Islam is aggressive with respect to societies it is confronted with, or confronts itself with, such as in Europe, where we have masses of Muslim immigrants, does not exclude that those people we call Islamists are, for their own countries, fighting to preserve their traditional culture. So Islam is a system that makes the Muslim society stable on the one hand, and which appeals also to Western conservatives, but on the other hand, is the other side of the coin is that it destabilizes non-Muslim societies. So the stabilizing of the own society by abiding to Allah's law is one thing, and the other thing is to abolish non-Muslim societies, or to abolish infidelity, as they call it, at all from the planet.
Yes. All right. So you're saying that it is very much a what is that called? Where it's trying, it needs to convert everyone to its belief system.
I'm sorry.
Muslims are required to the jihad includes converting everyone to its belief system.
Yes, that's true.
Yes. All right, well, we're going to take a break, ladies and gentlemen. We'll be back again in 3 minutes, so stay with us.
Corporate media dominates the American opinion. Finding independent voices that counter this avalanche is becoming increasingly difficult. With the endless corruption running rampant throughout our government, independent voices are needed more than ever to battle the offensive against our freedoms and liberties. As a listener of RBN, no one understands this concept better than you. Now it's up to you to do your part. The time has come for you to take action and begin broadcasting the truth to hundreds or thousands of people every month. Sound impossible? Quite the contrary. With pointed slogans from LibertyStickers.com, you can reach countless sleeping Americans unaware that they live in a real-life wonderland. LibertyStickers.com has a huge inventory of political bumper stickers and messages that reflect the truth about our government, our politicians, and the future of America. With so many in stock, there's one perfect for you. Visit us today at LibertyStickers.com. Again, that's LibertyStickers.com. Do your part. Your voice is important. Let it be heard.
Are you serious about maintaining or improving your health? If you are, you need Terravim. Terravim offers a full line of vitamins, minerals, and herbs for people serious about enjoying a healthy lifestyle. Our product lines include Alamax, Magnesen, Silver 100, Natura Health Products, Gala Herbs, and Terravim's private label, and undergo rigorous clinical studies by leading researchers and contain physician-grade research-based therapeutic doses of nutrients. All of our vitamin, mineral, and herb products are manufactured under current good manufacturing practices. This is in an FDA-registered production facility, and we guarantee that the ingredients in the supplements are exactly what's on the label. We also provide free consultation for all our products along with general wellness information. All orders over $45 ship free, and all orders received by 3 p.m. ship the same day. When shopping online, enter the coupon code RBN for a 10% discount. To order now, call 1-866-647-4372. That's 1-866-647-4372 or visit terravim.com.
Aerial spraying, chemtrails, the modified atmosphere, heavy metals and pesticides, carcinogens and chemical fibers all falling from the sky. You have a choice to keep your body clean. Detoxify with microplant powder from hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608. It's odorless and tasteless and used in any liquid or food. Protect your family now with microplant powder. Cleaning out heavy metals, parasites, and toxins. Order it now for daily intake and stock it now for long-term storage. Visit hempusa.org or call 908-691-2608 today.
This is Carolyn Yeager, and my guest today is Manfred Plantahartlager. I was saying we were going to switch to his phone, but I'm told that probably it's just the way I'm hearing it, because I'm not using a headset from this location, so I'm the problem, and I'm hearing it worse than what it actually is. So we're continuing as we were, Manfred, and I think you're making it very clear to everyone. If anyone has a question, if they don't understand, or if they disagree with something very much that you're saying, they can call in at 1-800-313-9443, and we'll take the call. Now, let's continue with this, trying to understand why. Well, you say, okay, Islam is destabilizing to European culture. I think so. Now, would you say, here's a question I want to ask you. Do you think that Christianity is an essential part of Western civilization? Or how do you see the importance of Christianity in our European civilization that goes back, before Christianity, actually?
Yes, that's true. And, of course, Christianity didn't emerge in empty space, and you had, of course, the ancient civilization. You have the Greeks, the Romans, or the Germanic tribes, and so on, where the Christianity had to deal with and to come to an arrangement with. But I would say that Christianity is central to our civilization, and especially what many liberals or leftists wouldn't subscribe to, is that it is also central to the values like democracy and individual freedom and tolerance and nonviolence. They would favor, but wouldn't admit that this is secularized Christian theology. It is something that you find in the Bible, that all men should be equal for God. The Samarite was no Jew. Nevertheless, Jesus called him as he's the example of a man who loves God and who loves the men. And that's something, that's a thought that has deeply shaped our civilization and has also shaped the liberal view of the world. And that's what they are not aware of, that you cannot destroy Christianity or replace it by Islam and at the same time keep the achievements, especially the left, would like to keep.
Yes. All right. So now you go on to say that maybe we've covered this, but we're caught in a conceptual system which we cannot describe. Well, we can describe our own society and culture, but we can't describe a foreign civilization, which is completely different from ours. Now, as an example of this, I've got down pious efforts and holy war being actually the same thing in Islam.
Yes, the try to spread Islam by which means ever is central to Islam, and this is something you cannot, which is completely different from Christianity, because Christianity says yes, tell the gospel all the people, but it does not say do it by which means ever.
Mm-hmm. And that is it doesn't say that the end justifies the means.
That's correct, yes. Whereas Islam does essentially do say exactly that.
Although we do know that when the Catholic Church managed to overcome the resistance of the Germanic tribes, that they were using any means whatsoever to do so. So there are certainly instances where the church or Christianity does not behave according to its own precepts.
That's correct, but it was always a theological problem, because they couldn't justify it according to their own doctrines. Whereas Muslims and Muslim preachers always it was no problem at all to them to justify it with the example of the Prophet and the teachings of the Quran.
Well, that's a very good answer, I must say. I didn't think that's a very good answer. All right, so in the religion itself of Islam, violent extremes or any measures to convert people are already said to be all right with God, and how does that work? I mean, I won't go into that. I'm a little, religion leaves me a little confused, I must say, nowadays. But people say, how about all these people who say that Christianity and Islam are very compatible, but Christianity and Judaism are not, and Islam and Judaism are not. How would you have an answer for that?
Oh, that's complicated, because every one of these three religions is hard to be compared with the other. Also, superficial similarities between them invite us to make such comparisons. But, for example, you can compare...
I can't give any examples. We'll be right back with this, ladies and gentlemen.
You're listening to the Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.
Extend your life.
When I had a heart attack at 42, I was not sure what the future held. But a year later, the doctors could find nothing wrong with me and took me off all my medication. What did I do? I took a herbal mixture of garlic, cayenne, and a few other herbs mixed in liquid form. I now call this Extendovite. I would have never believed that a few simple herbs could actually change my life like they did. Now it's your turn to see what the powers of garlic and cayenne can do for you. For only $69.95 plus shipping and handling for a 2-month supply of either capsules or liquid, you too can begin on your path to better health. For more information, call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822. Or visit our website at heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
The Berkeleyite's unique design combines the age-old process of microporous filtration coupled with modern state-of-the-art technology and the highest quality materials, bringing you the finest water filter available anywhere. The revolutionary Berkeleyite, with its exclusive black Berkey filter elements, remove pathogenic bacteria, cysts, and parasites to non-detectable levels. Harmful or unwanted chemicals are reduced to below detectable levels. And it reduces nitrates and unhealthy minerals like lead and mercury while leaving the nutritional minerals your body needs. Made of durable Lexan, the material used in making bulletproof glass, the system is durable, rugged, and yet attractive. The Berkeleyite is transparent, so there is no guesswork when refilling the system. The water level is always visible. The rechargeable LED lighting system is beautiful as a nightlight and as necessary in emergency situations. Get the Berkeleyite, the transparent water filter, for only $259.
Call today, 877-605-9200. That's 877-605-9200.
Do you flinch when a police car appears in your rearview mirror or you get pulled over? Are you squeamish when an envelope arrives in the mail with a return address of a court, a government agency like the IRS, or some law firm? Would you like to escape government agency harassment? Then visit escapeharassment.com. George Bush allegedly says, "The government constitution is nothing but a doggone piece of paper." Well, that's a contract! A contract is an offer acceptance of that offer, at which point a contract arises by law and the offeror can no longer withdraw the offer. We teach, do not accept! That way there is no contract or agreement for you to go to their court or private club meeting. To escape government agency harassment like the IRS, visit escapeharassment.com. This is a tried and proven experienced process, not experimental, with a money-back guarantee that it works and success testimonials from previous students. Remember, escapeharassment.com. That's escapeharassment.com.
Hello again, ladies and gentlemen. Once again, I'm Carolyn Yeager, and my guest is Manfred, or I should say Manfred, Kleine-Hartlein from Germany. Pardon me, Manfred?
Yes, it's okay. You can say Manfred.
I think my A's right. I'm always saying, you know, when it should be ah, I'm always saying A when I'm trying to say a German word. But anyway, I'm getting it. But I just naturally revert to my own way of saying things. So now, but I was saying, I brought up that people say that, a lot of people say that Muslims and Christians get along so well together. And you did mention that most Muslims are peaceful. And they are not what you would call terrorists, and maybe you some people might think that you overemphasize the terrorism in Islam. But let me put it this way: there are those who say that Muslims have higher and better standards of behavior and morality and so on than our Judaized Christian culture has become, and therefore we would have a better society with more Muslims in it. Now, we know that that's not exactly happening in Europe, but how would you answer that?
The problem is, whatever a Muslim society, in which point ever it may be good and working, it requires that those who belong to this society become Muslims first. In theory, you may say that if a society is 100% Muslim and those people and the people belonging to it abide the rules of Sharia, the Islamic law, then it would be a stable society. I think this is true, but I don't want to become Muslims and a Muslim, and most other Europeans don't too. And the way Sharia stabilizes society is not the way I want to live.
Well, me either. And let's talk about Sharia. You know, there are those who say, oh, there's nothing wrong with Sharia. Oh, I've read things that I see that the laws that they want to have passed in Britain And where else in the Netherlands, I guess, where there are so many Muslims, and they're trying to be so tolerant of them, and now they want special courts for themselves. And these are quite extreme, it seems to me, and it doesn't belong in our European societies. Point out some of these points of Sharia law.
Yes, that's exactly a part of the separation of Muslims from the majority society and stabilizing their own Muslim society to require Sharia laws to be established in, for example, Holland or in England. This Sharia law requires, for example, that you don't criticize Islam. It is blasphemy to criticize the Prophet or to say something, as I have said now in the last minutes, over the Prophet. They would it is impossible to tolerate this under Islamic law. And the Muslim organizations use a language that is misleading to Westerners. When they say we want tolerance, every Westerner says, yes, we want tolerance too. But what they mean is not the freedom of speech, but on the contrary, that other people, non-Muslims, have not the freedom of criticizing Islam.
Well, that's right. That's right. And then they want special laws for their honor. Do they really want to carry out honor killings in Europe?
Well, there are honor killings carried out in Europe, but this is a part of this whole complex of thoughts. Most Muslim leaders would reject this. It's difficult to understand because it's a kind of double standard. It's with the honor killings like with terrorism or other things. There are things that are officially forbidden by Sharia law, but which have, on the other hand, nevertheless, the consent that it is in any way not bad. It's for good end, but only the means are bad. And this is a kind of double morality that many Muslim societies have. For example, it is forbidden to rape women according to Sharia law, of course, but if a woman is actually raped, she have to get 4 eyewitnesses to that she was not voluntarily doing sex with the raper. And if she cannot, she is regarded as guilty of adultery. And for example, in a country like Pakistan, there are thousands of women in prisons just because they were raped. This is this Sharia law forces people to conform with Muslim norms and the expectations of the Sharia. Although the means with which it is pushed through the obedience to these rules is pushed through is not in accordance, is not in harmony with what this law tells. And this is difficult to understand. You have to analyze very deeply how the system works to get this point out.
Mm-hmm. I have seen women, Muslim women, in interviews talking about how all of this is a misconception and this is not the way Islam works, and it doesn't approve of any of this violence toward women, and it doesn't approve of rape and all of this. And they, you know, they're treated very nicely. They have, and they're all, you know, they're promoting a different view. And yet we know what happens. So is there some kind of a big split? Are there different factions in Islam, or is this just what's behind these people who are trying to put it across as not having these bad aspects to it that are so offensive to Europeans?
It's wishful thinking. It's insisting on a theoretical way of how Islam ought to be or how they wish Islam to be. and ignoring how Islam actually works in countries like Pakistan, as well as in countries as even in France, in the workers' quarters around the big city, where you have almost a complete Muslim population. There, the roots of the Republic are nothing more than theory, because police cannot dare to go there. It's pulled out by the, it's holded out by the, kept out by the Muslims who live there. And in these quarters, what happens is what Islam requires to happen. So that this is, as I said, it's wishful thinking. One thing is the theory, and one thing is what the application of Islamic rules actually results in.
Yeah, and you do point out that these are the rules. Or you just, yeah, I think you said roots, but anyway, I was thinking of rules. I was thinking of the Quran, what it requires on the one hand. It, you know, it talks about peace and love and so on one hand, and then it talks about how the worship of Allah is required for all humanity, and that is the end goal. So it is a kind of a world conquest type of world system, right?
Yes, it's a revolutionary theory. So those who call themselves Islamists and or are called Islamists and who claim to be in harmony with what the Prophet Muhammad did and Allah requires are right in their view. So if you say they are what is often said by leftists and liberals, those people who regard Islam as a world revolutionary doctrine, those people abuse Islam and only read the more militant passages. I say, no, they don't abuse anything. They do just what Islam asks his supporters to do. And the fact that most Muslims are no terrorists and are peaceful does not change this view, because they, although they are personally peaceful, they would agree with certain types of violence. Not everyone to everything, but when there are a bombing in London, for example, in 2005. Muslim leaders said, okay, we disagree with that, but British government should take the opportunity to withdraw their troops from Afghanistan, or from Iraq, was it? That's the way, on the one hand, they say, okay, we don't want violence, but we would like to use the results of this violence, and we understand why this violence is done. And in this way, the Muslim communities in Western countries are something like a soundboard to extremists. So they, even if they disagree with this view or that action, they know, yes, from an Islamic point of view, it is something, perhaps we disagree with the way it is done, but the aims of what, that are to be achieved, we agree with.
Yes. All right, and you talk about the, you know, it occurs to me now that when we talk about globalism, and probably everyone who listens to RBN regularly, certainly, is very much against globalism. That's one of the main things that we all share here. But so the globalist objective is to collectivize the world, but it does seem to me that the goal of Islam is the same, only under Islam. What would you say to that?
In a certain way, yes, Islam is has in common with Western globalism that it is also aiming at a globalized world, just under Islamic rule. I'm not sure whether the globalist elites who are trying to establish their new world order, whether they are really aware what Islam really is, because Islam is a competing ideology, as the old communism was, and even more than communism, because communism has much in common with liberalism, but Islam has nothing in common with it. So I'm not sure whether they know what they are doing.
Okay. All right. Then you say that the one thing I'll add before we take a couple of callers, collectivist mindset, you're right that their collective mentality is not just a theoretical problem, but contributes directly to the destruction of indigenous societies and their culture. So what we're looking at here, though, is something that is very aggressively moving into our nations, not so much in the United States yet, and that's why so many RBN listeners and Americans don't see a problem with Islam, because they are here in the United States, and we're concerned with other invaders to our country. Not Muslims, but in Europe it is Muslims. And okay, here I need to ask you a question before we take the callers. Do you consider Turkey a European country?
No, Turkey has always been the enemy for centuries of the European culture, has exterminated on its own soil what was established as a Christian and a European culture, which had been maintained by the Greek, who had lived there for thousands of years, and who were expelled step by step. And the last step was in 1955, a pogrom in Istanbul, where many thousand Greeks were just killed by the mob. And so in the Turkey has always tried to expand into Europe. The most famous instances were the sieges of Vienna in 1529 and in 1683. For centuries, the Turkey was subjecting large parts of Eastern and Southeast Europe. What we saw in the Yugoslav civil war seen as an aggression of the Serbs against the Muslims has a background in the centuries when the Serbs were subjected by the Turks and in general the Muslims, and cannot be understood without that. So what Turkey now tries is to come into the European Union on the one hand. As any poor country who applies for the EU does, they want to get money. But on the other hand, they want the door finally open for Muslim immigration into Europe in order to Islamize Europe.
Right. Here's one more question for you that is really burning within me. Can a Turk be considered a German, in your opinion?
It's like asking whether a Negro can be an American. Yes, of course. Individual persons can always, if they are prepared to adapt to our culture and to adapt to our expectations. That's, in my view, not the problem. The problem is that Islam is a social phenomenon. And if you take 3 million, at present we have 3 million Turks in Germany. If they gather in Germany, they will always, or if Muslims at all gather in big communities in foreign countries, they will always form a stable parallel societies, as we call them. And it is different from such societies that have been formed, of course, too, in the United States by Italians who went there, but it was a phenomenon passing by. The Muslim parallel societies are stabilizing progressively as long as they exist, so that in the third generation of young Turks here in Germany, the awareness of being Turkish and being Muslim is far deeper rooted than it was even in the first generation who came 40 or 50 years ago.
Well, that's why I say it's not just that they can be a German citizen, but I don't think they can truly be a German. And that's not the same as an American, because Americans were already somewhat various Europeans. Okay, well, we've got to take our caller. I'm sorry I waited so long. Steve from Chicago. Hi, Steve.
How you doing, Carolyn? You sound like you're talking out of a tunnel.
Okay, well, that's all right.
Okay.
I have a question. Make it
Yeah, I'm confused with Manfred here. I don't know who he's representing. He says his movement is the Bürger Bewegung, but that's so related to the Bürger Rex Bewegung Solidarität.
Okay, well, we'll have him answer that when we come back.
Attention RBN listeners, the freeze-dry guy, providing the finest in long-term storage food since 1970. Today, the U.S. military and the U.S. submarine service enjoy using these products extensively. In actual scientific tests, these foods typically maintain their high nutritional value in excess of 30 years. These foods are delicious tasting, hearty, light to carry, and easy to prepare under the most adverse conditions. Unfortunately, many people building a family food storage program, as well as many companies providing emergency feeding programs, simply do not give you enough protein, especially animal protein. No other food satisfies like animal protein during stressful times. If you're a meat eater, you will definitely want our freeze-dried meats and entrees. But we do offer vegetarian items as well. Visit freezedryguide.com or call 866-404-FOOD, 866-404-3663. Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
Estrogen dominance, a brand new 20th century disease, a phrase coined by Dr. John R. Lee 35 years ago. Dr. Lee proved that all the estrogen that is coming from food and water is having a devastating effect on our health. The rapid rise in breast cancer, uterine cancer, prostate cancer, weight gain, osteoporosis, feminizing of our boys and early puberty of our girls, and also the destruction of natural killer cell function. Natural killer cells are our only protection from cancer and viral infection. Dr. Lee found that using natural progesterone, about 20 milligrams per day, would not only reverse osteoporosis, but would greatly reduce the cancer issues, as well as dozens of other health challenges we face today. Visit our website, healthlinkamerica.com, to order the DVD on hormone imbalance. Learn how hormone imbalance destroys the immune system and get started on natural progesterone and Cyto-S. It will not only change your life, it may in fact save your life. Once again, that website is healthlinkamerica.com.
Hey, honey, I'm home. I grabbed a newspaper on the way home. Look at all the news today.
Don't you know that all you're going to get in the newspaper is propaganda, twisted news, and false information?
Honey, this is a national newspaper. It has to be true.
Ha! For some reason, the majority of the population believe anything the mainstream media tells them. The newspaper doesn't give out the important attention of what's happening to this country and news that affects our daily lives. Say, does that newspaper mention anything about the North American Union?
No, not that I can see.
I didn't think so. You need to go to www.newswithviews.com, where truth is more important than political correctness. That's www.newswithviews.com. Hey, don't throw that away. We can use that in the birdcage.
Okay, move over. Let me start reading newswithviews.com.
The truth? Read all about it at newswithviews.com. Newswithviews.com. Where reality shatters illusion.
Program. My guest is Manfred Kleine Hartlager. And Manfred, did you understand Steve's question?
I'm not very sure. I'm not sure whether I really understood it because the quality of the connection wasn't too good. But I have understood that he asked me whether I'm representing anyone, and I am in first instance representing myself. I have no organization or movement behind me, but I enjoy a certain reputation among the Islam critical movement, which is very heterogeneous in itself. There are many people critical of Islam who say, immigration as such is no problem as long as the people who come are no Muslims. Of course, I think this is very short-sighted. This liberal wing of the Islam critical move is, in a certain sense, blind because it has the the globalist paradigm as basis of their ideological views, whereas I think Islam, my view on Islam, is in connection with criticism of globalism as such. Islamization is only one part of the process to disintegrate the Western societies. So, I'm sorry?
No, I didn't say anything, but I think that's a very good answer. I like that. I'm satisfied with that. So let's go on and see what Werner has to say. Werner, can you make it real quick?
Good afternoon. I haven't listened to the whole interview there, but I think basically what I'm seeing, Islam versus Christianity, the Catholics call it the pot black. When we look at the historical records of the so-called organized Christianity, you know, and the bloody track record over the centuries.
Well, I brought that up earlier, Werner, and he did address that. And I don't think there's any question but that we can say the pot calling the kettle black. But we're not calling Islam black. We're saying, I think what Manfred is saying is that it doesn't fit. We either have one, in order to have a stable society, we have to have a basis for that society, and the basis for our society is Christian. Would you agree with that?
And we all have to take a stand against the extremists, you know, be they on the Islamic side, be they on the Christian side. And when I move into another country, I have to abide by the laws of that country. I can't make up my own laws.
That's correct, and that's what
let's let Manfred have the last word here, because we're almost
okay.
Over.
I subscribe with what you say, but that's exactly what Muslims wouldn't do, because it's one of the points where Western perception of what is law and what not, or what is right and wrong, is differing from the Islamic. We think when an elected parliament does a legislation, this legislation is justified because the parliament was elected. For Muslims, a really legitimate law is only what is in harmony with what with the word of Allah, and which is that's to say in harmony with Islam. And therefore, they are not very convinced whether they should abide to the law in the European countries they are coming to.
Well, as I say, you know, if you don't want to abide by the laws, you know, pick yourself another country.
Yes, that's what we should say then. Yes, yes, of course.
All right. Okay, well, we've settled that. Manfred, I want to thank you so very much, and I hope you can come back again someday. The invitation is open, and
okay,
so when you can do that, let me know.
Okay, I would like to come back.
All right. Well, I'm sure the listeners would like that too.
Okay.
All right. So that's it for today. And come back again tomorrow, ladies and gentlemen, for another program of Revisionist Report. I think I may be... Well, no, it's time. I think I hear the music.
Goal.